Hello everyone and welcome back to Donkey's Garage for Season 2, Episode 20, Racing at Silverstone, located in Great Britain, in the area of Surrey. Silverstone, the track, is actually a Royal Air Force landing ground back in its time, and it was first used as a circuit in 1927, and then it has been used consistently in the calendar since 1950, making it one of the big classics. It's actually a very, very tricky track which combines very high speed corners with a lot of technical aspects to them, with decent straights and also an area which is more of a slow corners. It has changed, of course, through the years. We've changed in that the pit lanes has actually been relocated within the track, but overall it kind of preserves its identity, and it is actually one of the most popular events in the calendar, making this year with an attendance of 480,000 people, that being a record of all time record. And to add to it is actually being the grounds of the new film, which is going to be released shortly, with starring Brad Pitt and Idris, which is based or is supposed to take place in Formula One. It's largely funded by Lewis Hamilton and Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. It also has the technical support of Mercedes, and they are actually running an F2 car, which is then bodied with an F1 kit. Together with that, it made quite a unique weekend with a lot of personalities, public people attending the race. We saw Javier Bardem, we saw a great many people like Cara Delevingne, we saw Shakira, which actually attended the race once again, and so on, making it very popular, and also by the fans, because I mean, it's the British crowd, which is, I think, one of the best ones there is out there. Incredible support to their drivers, as always, with Lando Norris, Lewis Hamilton, and of course George Russell, and of course not to forget the half Brit, half Thai Albon, who enjoy an amazing support by the British people and by the British media, that is. Also, people like Jeremy Clarkson attended, who were invited, as a matter of fact, by Alpine, who, after the joke over the beers, have apparently created some strong bonds between the two entities. With that said, straight into the weekend, with the weather being quite a variable which had to be taken into account, with F2 and F3 actually having to run in wet tires because there were heavy rains during the races, and Formula One was set to have a qualifying in wet conditions, but then the situation changed, as it really didn't rain, it just drizzled, and definitely the conditions were warm enough to keep the track suitable for the soft compound, and that meant that the choice at the beginning of Q1 was going to be essential. All the drivers tried to get out there as fast as they could in order to make their lap time under dry conditions with soft tires, trying to kind of anticipate should the rain come. That was actually something that was not so well read by Ferrari, who actually got out there with the intermediates, and in the formation lap they already realized it was the wrong tire, the wrong compound, and Leclerc and Sainz were already calling to change for softs, which made them look a bit like donkeys, as it seems to be a recurring factor in this team. Otherwise, the grid was changing all the time, as it is quite a classic when these kind of conditions are given. The drivers are out there trying to put the lap times one after another in order to really maximize on how the track evolves, and essentially because it was not raining, the track was actually improving lap after lap, and so the lap times were actually changing all the time. And with that, of course, there was some people that really didn't adapt well to the conditions. And for instance, Perez was knocked out in Q1, qualifying P15, which meant that another disastrous qualifying for the Mexican driver, which another weekend, and I think this is the third in a row, saw himself knocked out before the fight even started. Aston Martin actually looked better in wet conditions than they actually looked in dry conditions, which could be explained by the fact that they had a setup more oriented towards rainy conditions, and when the track actually turned out to be completely dry and soft, could be used without a doubt. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, they actually were kind of thrown off balance. Some of the parts of the track actually remained a bit slippery, a bit wet, which was the case as demonstrated by Lewis Hamilton, who the corner of the back straight missed the momentum, and as he was right into the corner, he lost the rear and then spun and went into the gravel, which he was very lucky because he was able to extract himself without compromising his qualifying or the underfloor. The Williams also did a magnificent performance during the Q1, with both Williams actually being very efficient during all the rounds, and they actually made it all the way to Q3. Very good step forward for Williams. They were really strong during free practice, also topping the top three during the FP3, which I mean shows how the team is evolving. And the big surprise overall was McLaren, with a revival, I would say, with a car that was perfectly suited for Silverstone, and they did quite an incredible and fabulous jump ahead with the development of the car overall. I mean, they were just topping the charts all the time. They were competitive all through the weekend. They were strong and through Q1 to Q3, very, very strong. And this is something that was maintained all the way to Q3, as I say, when the conditions were very difficult. It was a very kind of difficult moment to really read the conditions, and they were still not shaken by it. And just quite the contrary, they maximize where others fail to do so. And so I come to Q3 with Verstappen having been a bit on the shadows during Q1, during Q2. He was not shining, he was not topping the charts. He seemed to be a bit off balance. He even had an accident in the pit lane in Q3 as the red flag was waved because of the car failure by Hülkenberg, who left the car on track because, I mean, the car switched off completely. And so all the cars had to go back into the pits, and during that time they were able to fit new tyres for the second run. And Verstappen just looked nervous. He punched the wall with the front wing. He actually smashed it and had to be then rolled back into the garage to fit a new front wing. He looked nervous, but in the end he was able to really concentrate in the last minute and put the perfect lap, which set him P1. It was actually quite interesting because he then explained that he had a bit of an injury in his wrist during the weekend, which might have compromised him or might have caused the driver to be a bit off balance, not completely in his best shape. But I mean, nonetheless, he still dominated the weekend with a Q3 that was just out of this world. And of course, a race which was dominant, that left no doubt that that Red Bull is still where it was last weekend. And there is no doubt that they are there to stay. They're not losing performance at all, at least for the time being. The limitations imposed because of the computer time on the wind tunnel, or the limitations they suffered because of the last year's sanctions over the budget cap, don't seem to be having a tremendous effect so far, at least. With regards to Aston Martin, they were quite off pace all through the weekend. They were looking a bit better in wet conditions, which could be caused because they were running a bit of a setup designed to suit rainy conditions, which then turned out not to be the case. And so they were just not looking very sharp. I mean, just I would say P6, P7 is the best they could do, and that was something that was not really called into question. We saw Alonso actually topping the charts in Q1 when the conditions were wet and were slippery. But then I would say it's exactly because of that. The conditions were difficult. He was able to read the track better than the others. And it was very evolving. But when it came to dry conditions and to, I would say, ordinary conditions, the car then fell to its natural place at the time. Because, I mean, it seems that the Aston Martin is currently losing a bit of momentum. They have had some issues over the last two, three races. They have been, I would say, since Monaco, lagging behind, especially with the tracks that are very high speed, which, I mean, it's something that we knew and we shouldn't really expect anything different. I mean, they've said that they would bring updates, which would be then really step by step, trying to understand them, trying really to maximize on each of them. At the moment, I think there are all the teams that have got the upper hand, especially McLaren, as I will comment later. Ferrari, I would say they're on the upward movement. Also, Mercedes, they have a good momentum. Although this weekend they were a bit more, I would say, on the shadows. They were not shining so much. They were a bit more dull than previous weekend, certainly. And certainly the weekend before that, especially, I would say that their momentum was Spain, where they showed incredible performance, and also relatively in Canada, but here they were just kind of tuning it down. And Ferrari were looking very good last weekend with I think some missed opportunities, as I suggested during the last episode. And here they also looked quite decent in terms of pace at the beginning, but then kind of diluted over the weekend. I guess just they didn't really find the pace at any moment, and the strategy during the race did not help at all, as I will comment later. And arriving to the last three teams, I would say McLaren, as I claimed earlier, they had an amazing momentum during the weekend. I mean, good, perfect overall. Very, very sharp. They were just on the game all through the weekend, with Lando Norris being incredibly good, especially in Q2 and Q3, especially in Q3. When, I mean, it looked like he was going to snatch that P1, that pole position, and just to be stolen in the last minute by an incredible lap by Max Verstappen, of course. And with Piastri actually looking very close to his teammate, really consistent, showing that the both of them can work together and really block the great, making a 2-3, which is, I think, one of the best results the team could ask for. Gasly topping the top 10, which, I mean, is relatively a good result for Alpine, who were looking relatively decent through the weekend with a car that is usually quite efficient in low in high speed tracks. So relatively good news for them. But then through the race, they seem to be just losing pace, which is the case for many cars which are very, or are better in qualifying conditions than they are during the race. And then Stroll, which is quite a disappointment again, because, I mean, he's got a car that is a bit better than what he's shown so far. He qualified P12, but I think he had the car to really qualify at least to get himself in Q3. I mean, he's just behind, and it's something that he's going to be called into question, I would say, relatively soon. And I would imagine that his father, although he has a strong relationship, of course, with his son, being his son, his family relationship, but he will have to really question whether Lance Stroll is the right driver to have in the team. They are wasting resources, and very important resources, that is, of course, because you're fighting for a place in the championship. And if you've got one driver which is literally dragging the team behind, not puncturing it, and not getting points during the races, you're essentially fighting only with one horse, and that's something that you cannot allow yourself in Formula One, which is something, a scenario quite similar to what Red Bull are having to experience at the moment. And I don't want to really start a conspiracy theory, but I wonder whether there is something more than just what meets the eye with Paris, because I think it's not really normal to see a driver being competitive at the beginning of the season enough to really fight for the championship and really giving Max Verstappen a headache, and then suddenly disappear under the shadows of the cast of just not being there. I mean, he seems to have disappeared, and when I mean to disappear, he's had the worst of chance with the strategies. He's had bad calls in terms of management of the race, in terms of where he gets in qualifying, always in traffic. I mean, it just seems that too many coincidences are taking place at the same time, and I wonder whether the team are following instructions from Christian Horner to really sabotage his race and to avoid having any kind of situation, unpleasant situation, that would call Max Verstappen into question and that would really constitute a rival to Max Verstappen. I wonder whether that's the call, but I just think it's really strange that Max Verstappen is flying away and Perez is having all these bad decisions in terms of traffic management, in terms of overall strategy during the races. He's just qualifying all the time back there, which means that his races are essentially trying to get past the crowd, past the grid, not so much challenging Verstappen for the win, which is rather strange, I would say. Otherwise, Perez has been quite consistent during the race with a good result, quite decent in terms of strategy during the race itself. He was overtaking very daringly, of course, very aggressive as he is. He did quite a decent overtake on Sainz on the last chicane before the main straight, before the pits. Quite nice to see. And of course, he then overtook Alonso to finish P6 during the race. I mean, the race itself was quite boring, I have to say. There isn't much to say. The first four laps, yeah, they were very, very, very nice, seeing Lando Norris challenging Verstappen for the lead. He took the lead, he led for the first three, four laps. And then essentially, Verstappen took the upper hand. He pressed the button on the rocket and then literally drove past him and left it where Duster, where he was. Then at the end of the race, yes, it was only a 4 second gap from Verstappen to Lando Norris, which is not so much at the end of the day, especially knowing that at the beginning of the year it was much a more substantial gap. We're talking about almost 20 seconds at the beginning, more than 20 seconds at the beginning of the season, which, I mean, is something that shouldn't happen. And now we are, I mean, under the 5 second gap, which is quite acceptable. But still, I mean, that no one is really posing a fine, no one is really giving a fight to Max Verstappen for the win. So that's something that is really unfortunate, and it makes the races quite boring, because you already know who is going to win, especially knowing that so far no reliability issues on Red Bull's side. I mean, they've been very consistent, the engine has been perfectly reliable, so no question on that side. And one wonders, well, why watch the race if I already know who is going to win? Well, the last four or five races, I would say, was the case. I mean, only a couple of times, I would say Monaco was relatively interesting, trying to see if the strategy was going to shake up things, but then it wasn't quite enough. And overall, I mean, Canada, yes, but again, the only real fight that was interesting to see was Alonso and Hamilton. For the rest, it was quite dull, quite. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary, just more of the same. The retirements in this race, I mean, it were, I think, some classics. Magnussen with an engine failure, I would say, I mean, a big fire, so I would say the engine is completely gone. It's something to be worried, because that's a Ferrari engine on the back of that car, so something Ferrari should be concerned, something they will be looking at, what happened, because of course it's something that could then reflect on their car, something that could take place on their car, so you want to get ahead of that. They will be sending the engine definitely to Maranello to be tested, to be studied, and see where the issue lies. Then Gasly was actually knocked out of the race because of a suspension failure, so he had a bit of an accident trying to muscle his way through with Stroll, and then Stroll hit him, which, I mean, yes, he shouldn't have. It's quite unfortunate. Stroll actually got a 5 second penalty, which, I mean, then made Stroll really disappear. I mean, he was nowhere already, but then he just disappeared, finishing, I think, almost P14, which is, I mean, just unacceptable by Aston Martin standards, knowing that you have a rather competitive car, you cannot finish P14, meaning that you get no points, and your teammates had not the best weekend either. So, I mean, really low points for Aston Martin together. And then Ocon had to retire because of an engine issue also. So a very bad weekend for Alpine altogether. So reliability is something that I mean, is a recurrent topic in this team. At least it was last year. This year they seem to be a bit better. Sorry, but still they seem to be having quite a lot of issues with reliability. We have to remember that they already had a couple of engine fires this season, so the engines are still on the weak side rather than on the strong side. And then with the grid, I'm just going to cover it really quickly with Verstappen first. As I said, I mean, he led the race from lap 4 all the way to the end with just a minor disagreement, I would say, a minor distaste during the race, where the safety car was cold. I mean, then all the cars were bunched up, and then he essentially had to manage a bit the bunch of behind them. He had Lando Norris, he had Lewis Hamilton, he had Piastri behind, but I mean, come on, still, he had the car to really defend a position with a very strong arm, so I think he wasn't really concerned over that. Maybe suffering with his wrist, but overall he showed no weakness, absolutely no cracks on that side. With Lando Norris then being, he was magnificent, he was fabulous, he was incredible, he had an amazing race holding back, I mean, the crowd behind him essentially, but I mean also fighting Verstappen ahead of him, which is, it's hats off to him. He was actually chosen driver of the day for a very good reason. And then when the strategy was called because they had to swap tires, they did it to perfection. I mean, some teams messed up. McLaren, the teams, the top four, the top five cars did a perfect strategy because they waited, made those mediums last almost, 30 laps. And then they swapped for soft, meaning that the end of the race was then just on a soft compound, all out until the end. They actually pitted under safety car conditions, which made the safety car even better. I mean, they pit stop even better. It was faster, so no issues on that side. Hamilton himself was the one who had most to win out of that situation because he was actually running P6, P7 with Alonso at the beginning of the race. And then he was actually running, I'm going to check it here, he was actually running P8 with Alonso. And then, I mean, wonderful result. Wonderful, wonderful result. P7. Everyone was swapping tires, blah, blah, blah. And then he stayed out, did the same as Verstappen, did the same as Lando, did the same as Piastri, did the same as Alonso. And out of the blue, he found himself in P3 fighting fighting with Lando, essentially, for that P2. So just a miracle out of nowhere. He was then popped from 7th to 3rd with just good strategy. So good for him, good for the team, really good call. The one who was sacrificed in turn was Russell, who had a bit of a different strategy. He started on softs, trying to really maximize at the beginning of the race. And he failed right at the start, because on soft he was unable to overtake Leclerc, who was on mediums running P4, which was quite surprising overall. So Russell's strategy was then compromised all the way through the race because he was stuck behind this driver ahead of him, Leclerc, running on mediums. Russell was actually running on soft, but made them last almost like mediums, which was, I mean, hats off to him. He was unable to overtake Leclerc, so I guess he went into tire management, really trying to outpace those softs and really turn them into mediums almost. And Piastri lost the position overall, yes, but he did an amazing weekend overall with really good result for the team, really good result for him himself, because, I mean, he had some I think some dull races over the past two, three races, and then suddenly he found himself, I mean, in P4, which at the end of the day is a really good result, with an amazing qualifying P3 right behind his teammate, who is actually, I would say, almost a gold standard in Formula One. I mean, there are some drivers that are reliable, that are quick. That is Max Verstappen, that is Lewis, that is that is Lando Norris, and Piastri was able to really measure himself to Lando and not be so far off. In that list of gold standards, I was actually going to, I would doubt whether to put George Russell and Leclerc in it, because I mean, Lando Norris definitely has shown that he's got the qualities to be the gold standard. George Russell has shown to have the qualities sometimes, but then all the times he kind of loses a bit track of himself and lets himself be overtaken by the situation. Some rookie mistakes sometimes that really don't are not really acceptable, that are not really where you would expect a gold standard like him to be placed. And then Leclerc, who's had, I think, a very bad weekend overall. I mean, bad weekend and overall bad season. Yeah, I mean, the Leclerc I used to know in Formula 2 is kind of being diluted, is kind of disappearing. I haven't seen him in a while. He's definitely a good driver, but I mean, he's been pestering Sainz for no reason during qualifying. They had a bit of an issue. They already had some arguments over who should be in front of whom. He was calling off over the radio Sainz because he claimed that he shouldn't overtake him, blah blah blah. I mean, at the end of the day, Sainz is ahead of you in the championship, and I don't understand why Ferrari are prioritizing so badly Leclerc when he's shown to be nowhere near Sainz. At the end of the day, Sainz is being much better in rain conditions, better in qualifying. So why are you favoring a driver that is not your winning horse? I mean, I just don't understand. And again, it seems to be that kind of treatment of favor that Leclerc gets in Ferrari, with Vasseur being, of course, his master, his all-time protector. There was the guy who brought him into Formula One in the first place. But I mean, I think they're not being objective, they're not being really rational in those decisions. And during the race itself, I mean, again, Leclerc was showing no colors. I mean, he was just there behind, showing no pace. Admittedly, Sainz was not any better, but I mean, they actually ruined the strategy in that regard. So I think Sainz was the one worst off, together with Russell, at the end of the day. So coming back to the grid, to the charts at the end, it was Russell P5 with Perez P6, coming back from P15, which I mean is a good result, but again, it's not good enough. I mean, you have to qualify, I would say, maximum P2, P3. Very, very, very the maximum, because otherwise your race turns into just a challenge of getting past the grid and trying to reach the highest position you can. And I mean, in this occasion, it was P6, but it's not quite enough. Last race in Austria, again, he had to come back for P16, P17, all the way back to P4, P5. It's not good enough. I mean, it's not where you want to have a driver like Perez, a driver who's actually running a Red Bull, so not good enough. With Alonso then on P7, I would say pretty bad weekend for Alonso. They were shown no pace during the race whatsoever, struggling with containing Hamilton during the first stint, and then Hamilton overtook them. Hamilton then went off into no man's land, and then essentially they had to really contain all the pack that was coming behind. I mean, he was having to kind of hold off some of the drivers there. And then essentially they did a good strategy, which then allowed them to really come in P7 with the risk, had there been a few laps more, of running P9, P10. Because, I mean, there was a pack of Albon, Leclerc and Sainz very close to him, who was essentially holding them off. No pace, quite unfortunate. I mean, it's not the Aston Martin we saw at the beginning of the year. And I am afraid that the development race Aston Martin there is losing. And if it's losing now, I mean, I'm afraid that the slope is only going to be downhill. So I don't see a bright future for the timing for Aston Martin. not a bright future. They're still not far away in terms of points to Mercedes, P3 in the Constructors Championship. They're not far off from Paris in the Drivers Championship, but still, I think for the time being, the chance of the win number 33 are pretty far away. And then Albon again, and great weekend overall, a great result in the race, quite good. P8. I mean, they fought valiantly, they fought with all the resources they had, and they came in hard during the whole race, fighting head to head with the likes of Alonso, with the likes of Leclerc. So overall, really good for them. Quite a fantastic result, and applause to them. And I had to take my hat off to them for really evolving really the car in a very positive trend, trying to adopt the Red Bull style. Logan Sargeant a bit behind, but still overall decent. I have to say that, I mean, still making it to Q2. During the race, he was still not the best, but still P11. I mean, it means that, I mean, P8 and P11 is a good result overall for the team. They get points with Albon, and they almost get points with Sargeant, which, I mean, overall is really good result for a team that a few races behind was running last and was nowhere to be seen. With then the two Ferraris last, which I have to comment, and of course, I have to say, quite a disappointment. I mean, bad strategy. I don't understand why they called Leclerc so early during the race to pit hard. That was a big mistake in terms of strategy. I guess they were running high deck on this medium tire, but I mean, just not acceptable. It's just bad strategy calls, and then they pitted again and a used set of softs after the safety car, and then Leclerc was essentially then thrown back at the back of the field to make up for some places, coming at P9. I mean, he started P4, finishing P9 is just very, very sad. It's quite unacceptable. Not good for Ferrari again. Another failure by Ferrari in terms of strategy during the qualifying, in terms of race management on Sunday, not good. And Sainz then, I think, is the big loser of the weekend. I mean, he was running mediums. Then they had a bit of a conversation about what to do, whether they should pit for hards at which moment. I mean, do they still? They ask him, "Are you ready to come in?" He was, I think, quite incredulous as to why his team was asking him to make the calls. And then essentially they pitted for hards, and just a few laps later the safety car came out, and then essentially they were like, okay, what do we do? Do we call you in and pit a new set of softs? And by the time they wanted to make up their minds, it was too late. They stayed out in hards, and essentially they became the prey of every car possibly out there. They were overtaken by Perez, they were overtaken by Albon, they were overtaken by Leclerc, of course, in a desperate, I think, scenario where he was trying to defend on Perez, and by as he defended from Perez coming out of the last corner, he then opened the door for Albon and Leclerc to storm through. Even actually Hülkenberg had his go at him, which, I mean, it's an outcry, but then he was able to undo that and really come back to P10. But still, I mean, it's just a bad weekend for Ferrari. Not that it was any better actually at Monza during the WEC event, the 6 hours of Monza, because I mean, Ferrari didn't win in front of their home crowd. So overall, Ferrari had a pretty bad weekend in all the motorsport events they competed in during the weekend. With that said, I think I'm going to conclude here. Just the question is, who is the donkey of the weekend? And I have to say, it's either Stroll or Ocon. I mean, Alpine, as always, they have excuses. They're not there, but they somehow always have the right excuse to to say why they're not there. Ocon had quite a hectic weekend. Also, actually, Gasly had an active weekend, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just that, yeah, I mean, it's they're always there, but there is always a but with them somehow. And then Stroll, why the Donkey's Award? Because, I mean, you're running an Aston Martin, which, I mean, admittedly should be a bit better than P14, P15, and yet it seems it's a recurrent thing with him. He always comes P14, P15. So you're letting down your team at the end of the day. They're essentially running with only one car. They're essentially trying to fight for a position in the Constructors' Championship, but only with Alonso on the fight, which makes it very, very difficult if you're fighting with your hands tied behind your back, or to use another analogy, if you turn with a knife to a gunfight. I mean, who would do that? With that said, not much more to say. No negative comments on the FIA side. Yeah, with that said, I will conclude. Thank you very much for listening. As always, don't forget to follow. Don't forget to subscribe, to hit, to leave a comment if you like. And if you like to participate, of course, message me. And we will see you next week for Hungary. Well, it's not next week actually, but in 2 weeks' time, I think. In 2 weeks' time, in Hungary, which should be a venue which is more favorable to Aston Martin. So perhaps it is the second to last, with Singapore opportunity to see the 33rd win for the team, for the Aston Martin team. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good day.